Hi. Apparently I own this mic for the last hour, huh? Okay, our first speaker is going to be Shay. Marty was talking about one is his actual child. This is it. Okay? Yeah, I'm not good at that. So, a young girl came into our room a few years ago. Now, I was going to say a young shy girl came into our room, but that wasn't really what happened. Shay is not shy, and she's not quiet, but she is spunky, and she has a laugh that is so infectious. So we in these rooms have been privileged to watch Shay's growth, both in years, because she did come in pretty young, so both in years and in the program. I think you will enjoy her story, so please help me welcome Shay.
Thank you, everyone. As said, I'm Shay. Hi, I am the real child. So I didn't really know what to speak about tonight. Honestly, I didn't really think about it until like yesterday. But they said that the theme tonight was opening our hearts. And last night, after a meeting that I was at, I was talking with a few people about the topic of opening our hearts. And a lot of people were saying that for them coming into the program, opening their heart was, not shoving down their feelings anymore and not repressing those feelings and not sharing them. And I had a very different experience coming into this program. So like Sharon said, I was very young. I was 14, maybe 15 coming into this program. And I was just a fountain of emotion all the time. I never stopped feeling every single thing at every given moment. I cried every single day over everything. I didn't even know what it was most of the time. And so because I couldn't control the emotions that I had, instead I often wanted to control the perception of those emotions and what was causing them and who I was as a person. And so instead of shutting my heart out to everybody, I opened my heart to everybody. I opened my heart to not only friends and family, but to strangers at the bus stop and people that I hadn't even met before, to kids at my school that I'd never talked to, teachers who I didn't even know their first name. I told everyone everything about me all the time. And this worked for me for a while. I found that being able to make jokes about having a monster for a mother or about not knowing where my brother is or, you know, all those things that a lot of people are ashamed of, I would just laugh about it and my friends would laugh about it and we had a good old time and it was not an issue because everyone just knew I was the person with the crazy family who cried all the time and everyone just kind of accepted that, luckily. I grew up in a very small town. And thank God for that, because I don't know if I would have survived anywhere else with that method. But after a while, people started to pull away, as you can imagine, because I think the last thing that most sane people want to do is hang out with somebody who cries every day and complains about their life all the time. It's not really a fun kind of person to hang out with. And so while the sane people started to pull away, I surrounded myself with insanity all the time. In my first, let's say, 4 years of my dating life, if you can call it that, I dated 3 drug dealers, 2 sociopaths, and someone who was a pedophile. So, you know, I attracted all of the wrong kinds of people in my life. And that's not even the half of it. I had a roommate who stole money from me and also stole my dad's car, crashed it. And then I still was friends with her after we kicked her out. So, I mean, I loved the chaos. Even though I said that I hated it, I loved it. Because the truth was, it was comfortable. It was comfortable and it was easy. It was easy to be the victim. And that is what I was for the majority of my life. I was a victim. Every single conversation was a complaint about why my life is so terrible and poor me and, you know, why does everything have to go this way and what am I doing wrong? And that's why when I was 14 and or 15, when my parents got divorced and my dad forced me to come to this program, never gonna let it go, and made me promise to go to 6 meetings. I went to 4 and I never came back because the truth was I was scared to change because I was scared to really open my heart in a true and honest way. Because when I say I opened my heart to everyone, I didn't really open my heart. What it was a rehearsed story of my life that I could give to every person to excuse my behavior. It was a rehearsed story about, oh, I had this monster of a mother and this horrible relationship of my parents. And by the time I had told it a few times, I didn't feel anything anymore when I told it. Because the truth was, it wasn't coming from a place of dealing with the emotion behind it. It was an excuse. It was an elaborate and complicated excuse so that I never had to change. So that when I stopped going to school for weeks at a time, and my teachers would be very frustrated with me, I could give them my sob story and get away with not handing in assignments. And bless those teachers for being so kind about it, but you know, sometimes I wish someone would have kicked me in the ass because I think I needed it. But so the problem was is that by the time that I had realized that I needed change, it felt like it was too late for me. I felt like I couldn't be really vulnerable people because this was who I was. I had defined myself as this sad, victimized person and that I was never going to change. I was never going to be better and that this was just, I had to live my life like this because everything that I did was based on this. And if I changed the story, then I had to be better. And I didn't know if I could do that, honestly, because I never had been. I never tried it. And so when I was 16, so about a year and a half, 2 years after the first time I came to the program, one of my best friends in high school died in a car accident my senior year of high school. And as my dad always likes to say, I was finally in enough pain to change. And I came to this program. Again. And when I came to these rooms, I learned for the first time what a healthy openness looked like, what it looked like to truly be vulnerable, not to talk about the things that everybody knew about me, the things that I joked about with my friends, to talk about the things that I didn't tell those people, about how much it hurt those things that I joked about. I learned what it felt like to trust people who were trustworthy. Because I had been trusting everyone my whole life, I had never seen what it was like to tell someone these feelings and not have them walk away. And so when I started to make connections in this meeting, first of all, Sharon says that I'm not shy. I was probably the most shy I've ever been in my life coming to an Al-Anon meeting for the first time. Seriously, I have never been that quiet. I was so scared, and it was a bunch of adult strangers, and I didn't know anybody, and I was terrified. I was terrified. And, you know, my first thought was, how am I going to open my heart to a bunch of adults who don't get it, right? Like, how am I going to talk about my teenage boy problems with, like, 80-year-old ladies, right? Like, it's like, how are they going to get this? How are we going to do this? It's not going to work. But it's funny because, you know, those people ended up being some of the closest people in my life. It took me 2 years in this program to get a sponsor. And I have been in it now for roughly 3 years, give or take a little bit. And I'm finally starting to work the steps. So in a way, I feel not qualified to be speaking to anyone about anything. However, I have seen that opening my heart to the right people has given me so much in terms of changing and actually dealing with that pain. And there was a great reading I was reading earlier today in Hope for Today, the July 16th reading. It's about climbing the rungs of trust and letting people earn your trust. And I thought that was a great metaphor for it because, you know, now I know how to open my heart to people who are right. I know how to let people earn my trust and earn their place in my lives and not let people hurt me because of me, because of my decisions. And in every way, I can say that has made me a better person. And I think the more that I keep coming back, the more I will get to learn and grow. So thank you for listening.
Thank you, Shay. Oops, not formally.
No, stop. Thank everybody, Shay.
All right. So our next speaker is Mike. And I've asked a few people, and these people who I asked said they, I'm going to try that again. People describe Mike with words like down to earth, boy next door. That's a compliment. I attend meetings with Mike each Thursday evening, and it's been a joy. I've always enjoyed listening to him share. He does have a gentle, kind, humble, and soft-spoken manner. And he has wisdom, which I have heard as well. So I really think you will like his story. So please help me welcome Mike.
Thanks, Sharon. Hi, I'm Mike. So I didn't, Sharon kind of talked me into this at a weak moment. But I'm grateful to be up here and honored to share my story. And when I told my wife that I was going to be up here speaking, she said, well, what are you going to say? I said, I don't know. I might just stand up here and cry for 10 minutes. And then, so I ran that by my sponsor. And he said, you know what, that would be okay. So I got thinking about that. And what a gift that is. To be able to feel, have feelings, you know. Whether it's sadness or gratitude or joy, gratefulness. And to be able to express those feelings, even though right now it might just be tears, right? It's like I'm back to a 3-year-old kid, right? Emotionally, where it's just raw, and the only way I know how to express it is through tears. You know, and that's great. You know, I've lived most of my life not feeling anything, being numb. And it's pretty amazing. You know, but it, like I said, it hasn't always been like that. You know, growing up in an alcoholic home, you know, like it's been said, you know, you're modeled not to trust, feel, talk. You know, so I like to say, I just switched on to robot mode, you know? Just moving through life, faking my way through life, really. You know, I've heard people talk about being a chameleon and, you know, just fitting in. But you know, coming in to these rooms and coming into a safe place where, you know, I have no fear of being emotional now. You know, it's a safe place. I hear people talk about safe spots, and, you know, before Al-Anon, you know, I was, you know, I lived my life fearful, scared, you know, just like all of us before we got here. But probably one of the big things is, you know, I had, going through life, you know, I could fake it until I had kids. And then when you have kids, everything changes, you know. They start to mirror you. So I could see, you know, I could see in my kids myself. And I didn't like that. I didn't like what I saw, you know. My kids were just like me. They're turning into little robots, angry, you know. So I knew something had to change. I didn't know how it was going to change. But it had to somehow. And then I had an experience, you know, that changed my life forever, set me on the path to be standing here. It was 5 years ago now, just a couple weeks ago. I had a third child. And after we had a baby boy, and he died. He was born. We knew he was going to die. And we spent about an hour and a half with him. And something like that changes your life. You know, you really learn what's important. And what's not, and where you want to go. And in that short time, you know, I made a promise to him that I was going to change my life for the better. I didn't know how I was going to do it or when it was going to come, but I made him that promise. And I floundered around for 3 years after that promise. You know, lived every day of my life with that promise, thinking about that promise. And, you know, I was going the wrong way. And then one Thursday night, I walked into a meeting. Changed my life. I started to fulfill that promise that I made 3 years earlier. I sat down at that first meeting. There's a few of you in here that were at that first newcomers meeting. And I listened to your stories. And I realized I wasn't alone. That first time I admitted I admitted to myself and to all of you that my dad was an alcoholic. I didn't realize that before I walked into that meeting. Well, maybe I did, but I just didn't admit it, right? And that was huge. You know, I heard all sorts of stories that that were me, that I couldn't, that I didn't have words for or feelings for. And that started me down the path of recovery. You know, I learned serenity, or I'm learning serenity. You know, all these things have been talked about tonight. I sat there and absorbed them, am absorbing them. And it's changing my life. It's changing my kids' life. You know, I have two happy kids now, and they weren't happy before that. And that's amazing to see. I learned about a higher power. And, you know, I thought I lost a son, but I didn't. I gained a higher power. And that was huge. You know, he was always there, I just didn't know it, you know. He was there for 3 years, you know, helping me along, guiding me until I was ready to get to a place where I could find recovery. So, you know, I've heard people say Al-Anon has changed my life and saved my life. Well, I can truly say that. Because I don't know where I would be, you know, something... You know, when you have a huge loss in your life or a huge change, it can either rip you apart or save you. And, you know, I believe it saved me, and Al-Anon has changed my life. And for that, I'll be grateful forever. So that's kind of where I am. That's my story. You know, I keep coming back and keep moving through this journey. And I'm just grateful to be here. And thank you. Thanks.
You're way taller than I am. Thank you, Mike. So our next speaker is, she's here, right? Amanda? Okay, yeah, okay, good. So I met Amanda about a year ago. I think it was about a year ago since I've met you. I think we've had supper a few times at Alexander's on Saturday, which is always pleasant, thank you. But I've known her husband for a long time. I met your husband well before he was married, I think, quite a few years ago. So that's why I was just thrilled to meet Amanda. This woman that was making Niall so happy. So I heard some of her story. It was, I think, last AA roundup. I think you were speaking at the last AA roundup, and she did a short sharing there. And I thought it was really, really good. So when I was in charge of getting speakers, I thought, Amanda. And I called her, and she willingly said yes. So thank you. I know you'll like her story. So please help me welcome Amanda.
I think it's time for the invisible speaker tonight. My name's Amanda, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. Like Sharon said, I've spoken a couple times at the AA roundup, but not the Journey to Serenity, and there's way more people in the room. So doing some reflection on the theme of opening our hearts. I know when I came into Al-Anon, I was numb, and I don't know if I really knew where my heart was, to tell you frankly. I was in a fog of confusion, and I couldn't see myself out of it. And I lived like that for, towards the end, the last 4 years before I got into Al-Anon was really, really, I remember that quite vividly. Growing up, I didn't grow up in an alcoholic family, but my family had the isms. So my childhood, there was a lot of anger in our house. There was a lot of harsh reactions to emotions. There were limits on what you can do and you can't do, and there was no real reason for why. It was arbitrary. And it left me feeling, I felt like I had to be an overachiever, I couldn't make a mistake. The programming was there, is what it was. And like as Sharon mentioned, I met my husband, Niall. We were in university, and when I met him, the reason I was so attracted to him, he was very fun. But there was also a lot of pain there, and in a way, we got each other. You know, I had a lot of pain, and I wasn't telling anyone, and he had a lot of pain, and he wasn't telling anyone, so awesome. Let's have this relationship where no one talks about our feelings. I see that now, right? I didn't see it then. I just loved the... It was very fun, very exciting, and I was fortunate. I can say today I was blessed that he got into program quite early in his life, and so we kind of went on our merry way, got married, moved to Alberta, and we got to. Have a foundation for our family away from our family of origin, which was wonderful. I look back at Edmonton years I still look back at those Edmonton years like, oh, that was really good. But then we made a decision to move back to Saskatoon, and by this time we had two kids, and we moved back to be closer to family, and. While being away for those 7 years, we forgot what it was like to live amongst our families. And it took a long time for me to readjust. But at this point in our lives, we too had a devastating life event happen to us. Our youngest daughter got diagnosed with a life-threatening condition and still lives with that today. But that shattered everything for us. And we came back to Saskatoon with this news and didn't know how to process it. Like Shay had mentioned, I was the crier. I cried a lot over this. I couldn't understand. You know, I strived to live this perfect life, and I felt that this was a punishment from God. And I couldn't, and I was very angry. And I carried that with me, this anger. And it's this anger, when you're angry at your higher power, you don't really want to tell him you're angry or feel that anger, because then it's kind of this forbidden anger, right? That's how I was raised. And then for my husband, it was much the opposite, where he pushed down all his feelings. He grew up in an alcoholic family, and that's just how he coped. And so... we had these two extremes in our relationship of feeling all the feelings and not feeling anything, and it was starting to drive a wedge between us, because with a sick child, there's also a lot of responsibilities. And being the Al-Anon person that I am, I decided to take on everything. And that's just how, that was the roles in the family. And I remember our fights were, let's split up the roles of our, in the family. And I said, sure, let's split up the roles in the family. And I got a lot of vindication and self-righteousness from when he would bring up the suggestion to say, yeah, all right, well, how much of these 20 things do you want to take over? And, you know, it was kind of, we were at loggerheads. We were always, always just butting heads. And so strangely enough, I remember one of our fights was, well, you always have somewhere to go once a week. And you have people to talk to. And he looks at me and he's like, yeah. And that was it. There was no, you should go to Al-Anon. You know, there's this place you can go. You're a wife of an alcoholic. Nope, there was nothing. It just didn't occur to us that we both needed help. It was always that he was the one with the problem. He went and got help. So why isn't our life perfect? So ironically, the way I came into Al-Anon was actually at an open AA meeting where Niall was the speaker. And he likes to think that it was what he said. It wasn't. it was actually the Al-Anon speaker that went on ahead of her, ahead of him. And she spoke with such honesty and such, she truly opened her heart and shared her experience, strength, and hope. And at that point, it was like, you know, the light bulb went off. And I need to go to Al-Anon. I just need to go to Al-Anon. And so it shook me to my core because I, too, was noticing how angry I was getting, how numb I was getting, how dark my thoughts were getting, how I didn't approach anyone with any kind of love. I didn't love myself. I didn't respect myself. And it was starting to come out in how I was treating others, especially my children. And it was something that, it was very selfish. It was very selfish. And but it was a justified selfishness. That's where I was. That's how I came in. I was self-righteous. It was justified. And but I knew alcohol was the problem. But it was very hard to pinpoint when there's no alcohol for the last 12 years in our relationship. It was very baffling that way. See, it's still baffling when you're sober. And so, you know, I'd sit in meetings and I'd hear the three C's and you can't cause it, you can't control it, you can't cure it. And like, okay, but what if it's cured? Well, it's not cured. There's also something called emotional sobriety. And we didn't have that in our family. And so my three C's was, subconsciously, this is what I was trying to do. I was trying to not be the cause that he goes back drinking. I was going to control every situation and myself to make sure that I don't drive him to drink. And then I was sure, you know, he got sober because of me. I cured him. Ego. You know, I remember that thought hit me on Circle Drive. I just remember all these points where I'm like driving or doing something and these thoughts just strike me and it's just these divine inspired thoughts. And thank God that I pay attention to them now. And so that was a big revelation for me. And then once I went in, I was like, I again was very confused about sponsorship, and thank God for the old timers in the program that can recognize people struggling and come up to you and say, you got to call me every day. You got to call me and let's talk. And it was so, I would dial and hang up. And then, you know, that's not so hard these days. And that is growth. I got to take care of me. I care enough about myself to ask for help. I'm not in it alone. And so how it's working in our lives today, after I got into Al-Anon, this is what we've observed in our marriage, is that every time there's a change, there's going to be conflict. And so when I got into Al-Anon, things got worse for a while before it got better. There was a disruption in the way we were doing things. I wouldn't say I grew a backbone, but I was using my Al-Anon tools. And I was being sponsored the whole way through it. And through that, there was again a lot of conflict that we then stabilized. And then a year and a half ago, my husband got into Al-Anon because he recognized he was affected by alcoholism in his own childhood. So now when we sit on the couch and talk, and that small step of coming to a meeting and being willing to walk through these doors, no matter how scary it is, it can change so much in your life and in our lives. Because of that, because I went to Al-Anon, I got better. And then the relationship got better. And now that he's in Al-Anon, there's more communication. I mean, we still struggle with communication. Our natural tendency is to not talk to each other when we're stressed. And so, but at least now we recognize it. And, but I think we've gotten better at calling each other on their crap. When we do it before, it used to be very hurtful. It was very disrespectful. And it was done in a way to take away each other's dignity. It doesn't happen that way anymore. Now I know that there's a right time to bring up issues. You know, if I need to talk about it right away, there's a sponsor. I can pick up the phone. I can call. I can get the emotion out, and then I can actually deal with the actual issue when I actually have to talk to him. So, what Al-Anon has given me is emotional maturity. I think I was stuck at certain stages of my life, and the pain workshop I just walked in at the end of it, I just thought there were instances of pain or trauma in my life that stunted me at a certain emotional maturity. And Al-Anon, by working through the steps and working through the pain, I find that I can actually feel now at a 36-year-old maturity level, which it's not good when you're 30-something and you're acting like a 16-year-old and you expect everyone to fix your problems and you want a hug from your dad, who's not your dad, he's your husband. Like, ew. Not good. Not good. But that's the reality. That's what I had to work through. And thank God for that. I feel now I don't look forward. I don't look to, gaining the approval of people as much as I used to. Authority has always been a big challenge for me, and recently I was challenged with that, and I think I did good. And so taking time to be grateful for my growth is very important to me, because like my sponsor says, you don't know how far you've come if you don't start to measure and start being grateful. So thank you to everyone in this room, because I've learned so much from everyone who speaks and shares and opens their heart. And thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Amanda. So our next speaker is Zach. I attend Thursday meetings with Zach. You know, we are so blessed in our city that we have two adult children meetings. And what makes us so lucky is we have a great mixture of men and women. And it really, really does add to the sharing. You know, we have lots of times half and half, and that's great. So Zach is a valued member for both his honest an open sharing, and he really is. He's just, what you see is what you get, and that's really nice. And the other thing he's valued for is he's got a smile that is just lights up the room. I am privileged and honored to be able to introduce him tonight, and I know you will enjoy his story, so please help me welcome Zach.
All right. Hi, everybody. I'm Zach. Get this thing adjusted. All right. I'm usually used to saying something after that, but I'm just Zach tonight. It's been a great gift of this program that I get to be just Zach here. Just Zach, yeah. So where to begin? My head was kind of reeling about what I was going to say as everybody was talking, but Well, I guess I'll start at the start, opening our hearts, hey. How I came into Al-Anon. I'd been first introduced to Al-Anon 9 months into my other recovery program, and I came into the meeting on Saturday afternoon at the university there and walked in and was like, okay, I am not having any of this. I knew it as soon as I walked into the room, kind of like I walked into this room tonight. As I grew up in my alcoholic home, I developed this behavior of having to judge every single human being in the room that I walk into and to have known you before you've even talked to me. So I've already done that to you guys tonight. Sucks to suck. But just the way she rolls, baby, that's show business. So, that happened, that meeting, and I saw a bunch of victims and a bunch of people who were showing a part of myself that I wasn't ready to meet just yet. And I went with my friend, Justin, at the time, and he was going quite a lot, and he was getting a lot out of it. And we took away the 20 questions leaflet, and we were walking down College Drive, I remember very vividly, and we were asking each other yes or no to these questions, and I said yes to 19 out of 20. And the one that I did not say yes to was, do you think you've been affected by alcoholism? And I didn't really see the problem in that, but away I went and thought I was great in relationships and ended up in one shortly thereafter. And I discovered that the program that I was working was doing exactly the opposite, actually. It was just a way to make me think that I was doing something good with my life, or not good, but productive. And so when I came back, it was at the end of the relationship, and I was kind of just ready to sit in the meeting, despite of what I saw on about everybody's faces. My judgments were kind of just laid to rest, and it was all the 80-year-old ladies that I could relate to. Which I absolutely love today, of varying degrees. I can relate to a lot of different people, which is nice. And I don't know if anybody can relate to this, but it's usually the meetings that I go to, the person that I've judged the most is the person I hear what I need to hear out of. They usually shock me. And I've learned to just drop that altogether, and there's a lot more that I can learn from that. So getting on with business and opening our hearts deal. That's how I came into Al-Anon. And I came in with this expectation that I was going to learn a lot about intimate relationships with the partners that I was going to have in life. And I learned very quickly that was going to be the exact opposite about what I was going to learn at Al-Anon. And it became abundantly clear that a lot of it had to do with my relationship to my father and the rest of my family. And I can remember when I was 18, before I had any recovery, I was still in my own world. And much like Shay, as she had spoken earlier, I was dancing in the middle of the street after a staff party in the middle of winter, clearly looking for attention now that I look back on it, right? But the thoughts in my head were going around like, why me? Why is this all happening to me? Like, why does this happen? Like, why do I have to, like, what's wrong with me? Like, why is my dad an alcoholic? Why is my mom clinically depressed? Why is my older sister in a coma in Mexico? Why is my older brother estranged from us, an alcoholic? Like, all these things. Why is my sister on antidepressants and anxiety medication? Like, and it was all about me. It was, I couldn't see that it was all about these people, but it was all about me. And why is this happening to me? And, you know, it's funny because when I came to Al-Anon, all those problems that those people were having, they actually got a lot better, but I was kind of still left in the same gamut. So one tool that I was kind of unexpected to me that I got is at my Thursday home group, we often start off with a pause of silence, right? And whoever just kind of speaks, right? Probably at some other meetings, right? Just go. And obviously at first I was very uncomfortable with this tension that was in the room and, you know, it was just me, but I grew to grow very fond of that, to just be able to sit comfortably with people with not having to say anything and not having to feel this pressure of like willing myself to put on a performance for you guys. And when I first started to get this gift was like, I remember talking to Gord after, it was a Thursday, after a couple of years I'd been into the program, and I finally felt like I was ready to take some risks in my program and I wanted to start dating again. And I asked to, I met for coffee with this one girl at the Broadway Roastery, and we met at like 3:30, right? And I was like, okay, that's probably enough time to probably go home, have supper, you know, and go to the meeting at 7:30. And I just remember, I was like, okay, what I can take into this is what some Al-Anon has taught me, because I felt like I had to perform for people all the time, right? So if the conversation just hit a lull, it was like I was totally cool with it. Like the peace that I had for that, like, transformed the conversation. I just became really interested in getting to know this person. And we talked for literally 4 hours. Like, I looked at my phone. I was like, oh, shit, I'm going to get late for this meeting, you know? And I did not experience that before, because the way I was relating to people was like through this mask of like who I thought you needed me to be. And it was cool. It was very cool. Another gift that I wasn't really expecting to, about opening my heart and working through some of my anger with my dad, was just this simple part. I didn't get what my sponsor would always say. I was able to just sit with my dad and watch baseball games. Like, I didn't see why that was like a cool, like, it sounds like the worst relationship. You guys see each other once a month? Like, come on, man. Isn't there more to this Al-Anon thing? And then I started to get that, you know, where we would be able to sit comfortably and just watch golf on a Sunday. And that's what we can do, right? And I didn't have to feel like ashamed that I wasn't having this deeper connection with my father. And I feel the same way today. You know, I don't have to force this relationship. That's, I don't know if it's going to happen later or not. There's still plenty of life, right? So, but the biggest thing, I think I'll end with this point, is the relationship with my two sisters. And it's changed on my side particularly, because my older sister seems to, throughout our conversations, she's seemed to be fairly unaffected by the disease. She's been affected, I don't know how, and I can be fine with not knowing. But, and then my younger sister, I know she struggles with it, and she happened to move to Australia about 2 years ago on a backpacking. And I was personally, I had all my thoughts about controlling this situation, like, okay, yeah, not a good move. You're running away from all of your problems and you don't want to live with mom and dad because of the fighting and the tension. Yeah, you guys get the story. And it just hurt to see my baby sister, like the person I wanted to protect all my life, from my parents, going off, right? But I had to live and just be okay with the pain of that instead of shoving it. And it turned out to be very useful, because when she had trouble finding a job down there and planned to come back a lot earlier than what she had thought, and I became a sounding board for her, because I wasn't giving any advice or trying to control her or manipulate her into doing what she needed to do or what I thought was best for her. And it was funny, because I would sit in the video chats on Skype with my next to my dad and next to my mom, and I could see them just instantly getting into that bickering reactionary sort of thing, right? And she just get confused and lost, right? And the different, and I'm not tooting my own horn here. Like, it's, I can confidently say that I was part of an effective part because of Al-Anon, that my sister got to make her own choice, be the person that she wants to be, grow more confidently. It's such a gift that I got to be that for my sister, that I didn't have to control her. And she made a great move by coming back here. It was of her choice, but I got to be that for her. And later on, she even was the one that she wanted to ask to move in with me. Like, I didn't reach out to that. You know, there's that trust that we've built. And same with my sister, now that I've moved out with her, she now comes to stay with us, with my sister and myself. And I can recognize now that when I give my older sister a hug, especially too, now that I've been able to talk with her about those more difficult conversations and stuff and expose my pain, I can actually feel connected to another human being instead of it just being like, oh yeah, yeah, okay, just get away from me, like, you know? So it's all these funnier little things that I think that I've grown to be very appreciative that you guys have given me. And not all the stuff that I thought I was, like the great girlfriend that I initially thought I was going to get out of this thing. So I'm glad that's kind of given up. I don't know. Here's the hoping, but here's my sponsor, you know? Yeah. Anyways, I'm working on those adoption papers, so don't worry about it. All right. That's enough for me. Thank you.